Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Madeline, and Madeline has had some very weird encounters in an army barracks down in Victoria. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's cool to have you on. It's great to get people who are in the services or in the army or just places like that on the show, because I feel like there's a very straight cut type of attitude when it comes to people who are working in these types of industries, because you don't really get a lot of wiggle room to play around at work. And when you emailed me, my ears really pricked up, because army barracks is just one of those places where it's no mucking around. It's these are the rules. This is what you have to do. But you've been having some very, very weird encounters there, haven't you?
Exactly. Yeah, I have. You know, and like you said, you know, army barracks, especially in military services, it's very, you know, foot to the ground. Everything's very serious. There's no mucking around, really. So, you know, on the day-to-day basis, you know, you're in there to do a job, you do your job, and then you go home. And then you go back the next day and start it all again. So there's really, you know, there's no time to play around or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I always find these little spooky stories in army barracks so intriguing, because I feel like you're going to really piss someone off if you're going out there playing tricks when you're supposed to be doing something else. And I don't think the army's too forgiving when it comes to that type of stuff.
No, definitely not.
So are you able to tell me about some of these weird encounters that you've been having with your co-workers?
I can, yeah. So I work on barracks in Victoria. Sadly, I can't name which ones, but the barracks are split into four sections. We've got South, North, East and West barracks. And I really started working at these particular barracks probably early this year. And my first kind of encounter happened when I was working in a building, which is where they do parachute work, so para rigging. When I go into that building, it's usually just me, and it's quite a large building. So when you walk in the main door, there's a little foyer, and then as you continue walking in, you come to a big, big, big open space, almost like a basketball court size, and it's all hardwood floors, and then there's a tiny section of carpet and a couple of chairs, you know, things for students to learn on. And I was in there one day, and I was walking down the hallway to do my business, and I heard a second set of footsteps. So, you know, naturally, I turn around, see if anyone's following you, and there's no one there. And I turned around, you know, thought nothing of it, and continued what I was doing. And then I heard it again. So I sort of turned around and looked and, you know, said, hello, anyone here? And there was nothing. So I kind of brushed that off because, you know, people come and go out of those buildings fairly often. So I kind of just assumed, you know, one of the guys had come back to grab something they'd forgotten. And then I went back another day and the same thing happened. And it was just, I don't know how to describe it. You kind of get this feeling that, you know, you're not alone in this building. And I know for sure I was alone in that building because I unlocked the door and then locked it behind me, because that's obviously protocol. What we do is when I go into a building, I have to lock it behind me. Yeah, so that was definitely a little bit weird. You don't really know what to think of that when you hear somebody running out on the floor and you come out of your little room and have a look and there's nobody there. So, and when I say footsteps, I'm not talking really about something quiet either, you know, big loud boots, you know, it sounds like boots running on a basketball court. So it's quite loud.
Yeah, right. So you're not just hearing these tiny, tiny little footsteps that, you know, people would probably connect with you with those Hollywood movies where you hear the kind of the floor creaking and stuff like that. You're hearing heavy boots running down a hallway.
No, this was, you know, somebody running across the floor, you know, in you know, boots. So it was definitely think somebody else is there. So I pop my head out and there's just nothing. And that is, it's a very unnerving thing because you think, oh, am I hearing stuff? Have I had enough sleep last night? But that was definitely a bit of a creepy encounter for me. And it's happened a couple of times. It doesn't happen every time I go there, but it's usually at the end of the day, you know, when I go in to check the building and I lock it behind me and, you know, you just get this feeling that you really shouldn't be in that building.
Yeah, that's really creepy. And it happens in the same building around the same time, does it?
Yeah, it's usually, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody in that building kind of leaves by 2 o'clock. And I go in to do a second. We do, obviously, with COVID, we do our touch points and things after everybody goes home to make sure everything's sanitary. You go in and you hear somebody running across the floor. And it's very weird.
Yeah, that's very, very creepy because I know those army barracks, they get so echoey when no one else is in there. And to hear that happening, it would just send chills down your spine.
It really does. It's, you know, if you've ever, you know, had any kind of encounter, you'll know what I'm talking about, but it's so unnerving and you suddenly don't really feel 100% safe because you don't know what else is there, really. And you don't want to believe that there is anything else there, but, you know, when it sort of happens more than once, you go, oh, there might be something else here that I don't know about.
So have you had any other encounters with, like, weird things like that in those barracks?
I have, yeah. So there was another building. There's a really, this one I can't make it up. It's really, you know, if I was to make this story up, it would not be true. It's just, you wouldn't believe it unless it happened. So across the road in the North Barracks, we were bringing a building back online, which means the building's been offline. You know, no one's been in it for ages and ages. It's a really, really old building. So all the buildings on the north side are about 1940s. And we were bringing this building back online. They'd just done some renovations in the bathroom to put new soldiers into those buildings. And while myself and a co-worker were in there for about a week bringing this building back online, you know, as soon as you walk up to this building, it doesn't feel right. It really doesn't feel right. It's a very old, you know, it's creepy looking. It's a creepy looking building. As soon as you get in the door, you just don't feel right. And one day a co-worker and I were in there and we could hear sort of banging on the walls and things, and we thought, oh, maybe there's, you know, some other contractors or something in there. Obviously, having fresh renovations, you would assume that there might be. And we sort of walked up to this where the banging was coming from, and, you know, there was nothing in there. So we thought, oh, okay, well, that's a bit weird. So just continued about our business. And then we heard... So in the new bathroom, when you walk into the bathroom, it's a sensor fan. So, you know, when somebody walks in, the fans come on, the lights turn on automatically.
Yeah, I know the ones.
And so we were up the hallway and you could hear the fans turn on in the upstairs bathroom. And I sort of turned and looked at my co-worker and I said, the bathroom fan just turned on. And she looked at me and thought, oh, that's a bit weird. So we walked up and knocked on the door and said, hello, you know, is anybody in here? And there was just nothing. There was nobody in there. You know, I can't make it up. And then we walked out and thought maybe, you know, the electrical's a bit off or something and the fans had just come on. And then we heard a toilet flush. So it was very creepy. And that moment when you hear that and you go, I know there's nobody else in here, but a toilet just flushed up the, you know, up the hallway in the bathroom. And you just, this feeling comes over you, you know, that's just so unnerving. It's ridiculous. So we walked up to the bathroom, again, knocked on the door. Hello, anybody in there? Nobody was in there. And then we could hear this dripping in the drain. And I think I sent you the video of afterwards when we, you know, we were running back to the bathroom trying to explain what happened on the video because I wanted to catch it on video in case nobody believed me. And we walked up to this drain. Well, I walked up to the drain in one of the showers and I looked in the drain and then just the biggest gurgling noise. It was so loud, I cannot explain it, came out of this drain and just scared the absolute, you know, Jesus out of both of us. And we both ran straight out the door. Oh, it was crazy. And I think that was because we were both on edge already.
Yeah, I could imagine. I could imagine so, because that's some very, very creepy activity going on in that building there, because to hear the lights kind of go on with the center, that kind of makes you go, all right, something's up there. Then you go up there and they flush the toilet, which is, I have a question about that. Is that like a sensor-based toilet, or is that kind of just a standard toilet? Like, you have to press the button to flush it?
No. Yeah, that's a toilet you would have to press the button. There's no sensor toilets. All of them either have a button on the wall you have to lean on to press, or, you know, your standard toilet flushing. So for that to happen, that was very odd. There would have to be somebody in there to flush that toilet.
Yeah, that's creepy, because toilets, I've never even heard of a toilet just randomly flushing by itself.
Just flushing on its own. It just doesn't happen, because if anybody knows how a toilet works, you've got to push the button down to release the water and so-and-so. So it was very, very unnerving.
Yeah, that would be. It really would be. And then to hear that gurgling in the drain. So I'm really intrigued by this gurgling sound. So was it like a growl type of noise?
No. So it started, you know, just as a drip. You know, after you have a shower and you turn the water off and the water kind of drips down the drain, the remainder of the water, you know, drip, drip, drip down the drain. And that's what it started like, you know, and I thought, oh, well, maybe the way they've set up the plumbing or something because of the toilet flushing, maybe the water's just come through or you know, whatnot. And it just wasn't the case. And when we sort of went back in, got our nerve back and sort of went back in, that's what I was doing, you could see that one of the shower handles had been turned. It's one of the handles, you know, you turn it left for hot water and right for cold water. And all of them are straight because, you know, people had just come through and cleaned them. Everything was straight and in line because, you know, military, it's very disciplined. And that one shower, the handle had been turned. And that was where the noise came from. And I think it just scared me so much because I was already uneasy about the things that had happened before, you know, the banging on the walls, the scraping, the sensor lights coming on. And I just sort of walked up to the shower. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea to look down the drain, but I did anyway. And, yeah, that's when the noise just came out and it was just so deafening. It was so loud. It just didn't make sense in my brain how that could happen.
I just got chills.
It was so loud.
That's really creepy. I mean, I just thought it might have been just a strange gurgle that you heard, but for it to be really, really loud, that's spooky.
It was really loud. It was loud enough that it, you know, it's not the normal sound you'd find, you know, after you had a shower and the water comes down the drain. It was so loud. It was ridiculous. It's kind of like when you let all the bath water out of a bath and it makes that really loud gurgling sound, but it was a lot deeper and it was 10 times louder.
Yeah, that's really weird. I really don't know what to make of that, because people could say, oh, maybe it was just the drain emptying or something like that. But, I mean, drains don't operate that loudly, or they don't make noises like that.
No, they don't. No. No. And there was one other thing that happened in that particular building as well, just before I kind of explain the next building. There's a small cleaner's cupboard, sort of pantry size, just like a small single pantry size. And it's just a small cupboard and it's got one shelf in it, and it had three baskets on the shelf, and they were labelled, you know, linen, pillow slips, you know, bed sheets, that kind of stuff. And we checked that cupboard, obviously, because we're bringing the building back online. We've got to make sure there's nothing else in there, so it's empty. People can put their things in there. The cleaners can put their things in there. And one of the signs, which are laminated, was on the floor. So I picked it up and stuck it back on one of the baskets. And as I closed the door, it was right when I shut that cupboard door, there was a big bang, and I jumped back and I opened up the cupboard, and the sign it literally just disappeared. I have no idea where it went. We still can't find it. It was very weird. I sort of stood there scratching my head, and I even looked on the roof. I could not find it anywhere.
That's very weird. So what type of sign was that?
It was just an A4, you know, it was just a piece of paper that had pillow slips printed on it, and was just laminated with a bit of blue tack on the back of it, just, you know, just a standard sign just stuck on one of these baskets. It was a crate, actually. Sorry, not a basket. I couldn't figure out the word for it. They were just crates. So, yeah, it was just stuck on this crate for people to put their pillow slips in and stuff. And, yeah, it just literally vanished. I still can't find it. We looked absolutely everywhere for it. Have no idea where it went.
Yeah, so it's not like it's a small sign or anything like that, not like a little name badge type thing. This is a big sign.
No, this is an A4 piece of paper.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this army barracks, that's for sure.
Yes, yes, definitely. And sadly, that's not all of it.
Oh, wow, really? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, yes. So the third building is by far, I would say, the creepiest. And it's one that I will now refuse to go into alone. I really don't like it. And, you know, I'm not somebody that gets put off by things very easily. I'll sort of take things on my stride, but I absolutely refuse to go in there on my own anymore. It's just the experiences that I've had in this building have literally just, I would say, haunted me. They are, it's been, yeah, pretty intense. So this building, yeah, is the Army Cinema. So it's actually off base. It's on a little section of strip that's owned by the council, but it's still Army property. And we go in there a couple of times a week to check it out. Obviously, it's closed at the moment with coronavirus. And I went in there, I've been in there, you know, heaps of times with other people, and never really thought much of it. But there was one day when I had to go in there and just do touch points and things like that for coronavirus again. And it was, when you walk up to this cinema, you know, it's just eerie. It's just really eerie. You know, there's steps up to the front door, and when you look in, everything's just dark. There's no, you know, skylights or anything like that. There's hardly any windows. You know how cinemas are usually pretty dark, but this cinema is very, very dark. And you walk, unlock the door, walk into the little foyer, and you have to go into the ticket booth to turn all of the lights on. So you sort of walk in there, turn all the lights on for the auditorium where they actually play the movies and things, and, you know, the bathroom, the hallway, all those lights are in the ticket booth. And so when you turn the auditorium lights on, they take probably 5 minutes to fully turn on, and they sort of light up very, very slowly. So what happens is I go in, I turn all the lights on, and then I usually go straight up to the cupboard where all the cleaning things are, which is up around a hallway. So the cinema's set out kind of like a square sort of horseshoe shape. So it's just like a U but square. And the auditorium's in the middle, and there's a hallway that runs right around the outside of the auditorium, and the bathrooms are at the back. And one day I walked in and I turned all the lights on, you kind of look to your right and see the auditorium. It's very, very dark and a bit eerie. And somebody that, you know, scared of the dark, you wouldn't want to go in there on your own. And I had just heard this weird sort of scratching noise, I guess. It was a bit of a scratching noise. And I kind of stopped and looked around and I couldn't see anything. I thought, you know, maybe there's a possum in the roof or, you know, a rat somewhere or something like that. You know, you'd hope there wouldn't. I was a little bit scared of small animals. And I looked up to the left and I could see, you know, the shadow from where the light hit the wall, and there's a bit of, you know, the sort of sharp line where the light sort of stops, where the wall gets in the way on the floor. And I could see that line of that shadow just kind of moving a little bit. And it was only so slight that I kind of thought, oh, maybe I'm not seeing that properly, or that, you know, it's just a trick of my imagination. And then it moved. It really moved. And there was sort of a person figure on the floor, almost like somebody was standing just behind that wall. And that really scared me. I can't really explain the feeling that I had when I saw that. Because knowing that I had just come into the cinema and nobody else was there, there was no cars in the parking lot, I had unlocked all the doors, turned all the lights on. Yeah, it was quite unnerving to think that somebody else had been in there.
It really would be, because those places, you know, they're really locked down really, really well. And to go in there knowing that you're the only person that's in that entire building, and then to see this shadow figure, that's enough to push someone over the edge.
It really was. And, you know, I still haven't told my boss this, but I turned around and walked straight out the door. I said no to that. I turned around and walked out, said I'm not going back in there. It really scared me. And I ended up having to go back. And I went back a couple of days later. I'd kind of put off going back, just knowing, you know, what I had seen, trying to kind of come to terms with it in my brain as to whether that was actually real or not, or whether, you know, you think maybe your mind's playing tricks on you. And the same thing happened. I walked in, and as soon as I got up to the front door, I got chills and I felt so uneasy. I really did not want to go in there, but I did, and I pushed through it and I walked in. And usually the cinema is cold, but on this particular day it was sunny outside, and I walked inside and the building was absolutely freezing. It was like, it was arctic. It was so cold, you know, I could nearly see my breath. It was that cold. And it, for a sunny day, it shouldn't have been that cold.
That's really interesting, because I've heard theories that spirits will take, I guess, energy out of a room, and heat is, you know, obviously a source of energy to kind of power themselves, to kind of give themselves a little bit more, I know this isn't the right word, but life, to be active. And that's one of the telltale signs of a haunting, is that, yeah, the rooms are icy, icy cold, because the spirit has just sucked all the heat, all the energy out of it.
Yep. Well, I would definitely say that's what happened here. And, you know, I don't think much of spirits. I definitely believe in them, but I don't think a lot of them on a day-to-day basis. But this, I could not make this up. The building was so cold. And the feeling that I had in that building was like something was pushing me to get out. It was like something subconsciously was telling me I was not supposed to be in the cinema that day. But I ignored it because I had a job to do, you know, so I kept going about my business. I turned all the lights on. And the auditorium lights on that particular day wouldn't come on. And I had turned them on, turned them off again. All the other lights were working, but the auditorium lights weren't. And in the auditorium, I'm actually not sure if I included this in my email. I should have. The auditorium lights have a secondary light at the back of the auditorium. So, you know, you can actually turn all the lights on from inside the auditorium. And I don't know why I thought this was a good idea, but I decided to go inside the auditorium and turn all the lights on from the inside. And I walked, you know, through the curtains down the little hallway, which brings you into the auditorium where all the seats are and the big movie screen is up on the stage. And it was the same thing. I would walk through the building, and the auditorium was slightly warmer, but it's like I would hit spots in the room that were just arctic. As I would walk through, there'd be cold spots throughout the room. It was really, really creepy.
Yeah, that would be very, very unsettling. Have any of your workmates encountered the same type of situations in that building?
Yeah, so, you know, I sort of went back at lunchtime after, you know, when we were dealing with the building we had to bring back online, you know, you go back at lunchtime and be like, oh my goodness, this happened in the building. We couldn't explain it. It was really weird, you know, and people laugh about it. We all laugh about it and go, oh, you saw a ghost, haha. But, it's, you know, it's really not funny. And then, you know, you kind of hear other people talking, oh, well, you know, there's some other workers that said the same thing. They went there a couple of years ago and it was the same deal. And especially with the cinema, there's two other workers who are contractors on base who do the cleaning there, and they refused. Both of those people refused to go into the cinema. And I would believe that would be because of, you know, the same kind of experiences, seeing shadows on the floor, hearing, you know, some quite loud scratching and banging and things. And when you sort of walk through the auditorium, when I was in there that second day when it was really, really cold, you just feel, you almost feel like somebody is right behind you, but then if you turn around, there's nobody there. And it's so unnerving that, you know, it's almost like, you know, somebody's so close to you that they can touch you, they can put a hand on you or something like that. And it was, yeah, it's very, very creepy. And I've spoken to one of those two other workers, and she did confirm that she had the same feelings in that building. And she, you know, she's quite a fair bit older than me. She's been working here for a lot longer than I have, and she, you know, she said that the same kind of things had happened. So yeah, now I don't go into the cinema alone.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's really creepy, because to have so many encounters in the other buildings, and it kind of just seems like this whole place is just absolutely full of this paranormal activity. And it almost sounds like there's something evil in this cinema.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't want to label it. I don't want to label it, say, yes, there's an evil spirit in that cinema, but the experiences that I've had in there, I really can't put down to anything that's not paranormal. I can't do it. I, you know, when I go back, I rang my mum after I was in there and I said, Mum, this happened and this happened. And, you know, she was immediately telling me I needed to take rosary beads in with me. You know, I should go and get a sage stick or something like that. But, you know, that's getting to the point where if it's really that bad and there really is, you know, so as some would say, an evil spirit in there or a poltergeist or something like that, I don't want to be in there, and I don't want to be the one that tries to get it out.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Let someone else take care of that.
Exactly. I don't get paid enough for that.
Yeah, no, I agree on that one. It's you know, there's professionals out there who do that type of stuff, and I always think it's
exactly.
There's a lot of dangerous activity that you can get involved in if you try to do a home job essentially on trying to rid a place of something that's not supposed to be there. So take that as you will.
Exactly. And, you know, and since these things have happened, you know, little things have happened since, like that was a couple of weeks ago that I emailed you. And, you know, smaller things have happened since, like I'll still hear banging. I still hear footsteps in the, you know, in the para-rigging building across the floor when I go in. But the feeling of, you know, not being safe and really the flight sense, the flight reaction, it has not occurred that strongly in any other building apart from the cinema. And I've told my boss, I just can't go in there on my own anymore. So, yeah, and I've got rosary beads in my car now in case I need to go in there. But I don't sound silly to other people, but, you know, it's not something I want to mess around in. And when my coworker and I were bringing that building back online for that week over on the north side, you know, on our breaks, we would sit there and go, oh, I wonder if there's any history on the building. So, you know, we'd do a Google search, we'd go on some of the army resources, and there is just, when I say there is no history, and there should be, there is no history. There is not a single piece of information on any of those buildings. So that's also, I found really weird.
That is really weird because, you know, they usually name those blocks after important people or things like that. For them to have no history, that's very, very weird.
Yeah. It is. It's very odd and it's very unnerving because, you know, there's a lot of other buildings that have names, like you said, and there's, you know, usually a plaque near the front door of certain buildings which would explain to you who it's named after, what the history is, that kind of thing. But it's the same with the cinema. If you search up the cinema, all you will find is that it's owned by Air Force, which it's actually not owned by the Army, but I don't know why that's on there. And that's it. There's just no other history. You know, if you search up, myself and my coworker were thinking, oh, maybe somebody had died in the building, if that, you know, if it's haunted. And there's just nothing. There's no information.
Yeah, that's really weird, because I think earlier you said that these buildings, they were originally constructed in the 1940s or 1950s?
In the 40s, yeah, in the 40s. That's the only bit of information you can find, is that when they were constructed, which is actually when the base was built, in the 40s. So that's the only bit of information. And the buildings, don't get me wrong, like, they look like they are from the 40s. They are very, very old and not run down, but they're getting old on the outside and they're getting renovated on the inside.
Yeah, for no recorded history for a building that's 80 years old, that raises some questions.
Exactly.
Is there any rumors that go around about those buildings, about the bases, before you started to experience these things? Or is this just something that is just common knowledge that, hey, these buildings are actually haunted, just be a little bit careful when you go into the cinema?
I think it's kind of become a bit of a joke, because, you know, when you're dealing with military things, there's not much, you know, that's not serious. So, you know, when you kind of bring this back to the lunchroom, it's a bit of a story to tell, oh, I had this happen in this building, and oh, this happened in this building, and people go, oh, watch out, you know, oh, there's a ghost in there. It's a bit of a joke. It's like, I listened to your podcast about the bloke that was down at Puckapunyal. And it's the same kind of deal, you know, people kind of throw stories around, but there's no real sort of solid rumours that, oh, this, it's actually, you know, so-and-so ghost who died back in this year and has haunted the building ever since. There's none of that sort of solid rumour.
It's a bit of a shame, because it would almost give a little bit of credence to these hauntings if there was that one little trace of history there.
Exactly. And, it, you know, it would maybe make me feel a little bit better if I knew who I was, if it was a certain spirit that I was dealing with. But instead, I just have no idea. And I can't find any history on it at all.
Yeah, and that's really weird. And I could imagine, even if you ask the people that you work with, they'll probably be the same. They'll all find these dead ends when it comes to, I guess, the story behind these buildings.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, I had gone down to the museum and asked, you know, some of the blokes down there, and they know history, you know, especially the army, because they work in the army museum. And it's the same deal. Oh, well, they were built in the 40s, and, you know, they've always been used to have students when the army trainees come down to do their courses. You know, they're just accommodation blocks, really. So that building we brought back online was an accommodation block for females, and then it got split into co-ed, and now it's gone back. So we've just brought it back online for female only. The cinemas, there's just no history. Like, you know, it was built, people watch movies, and that's all I get, really.
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, it's just one of those things where if there's no history, there's no history, and if no one's sharing, it's a dead end.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the video that you sent me, it's quite evident that you and your workmate are quite shook up from the situations that have been happening there. Are your other co-workers...
Oh, we were petrified.
Yeah, absolutely you were. I could absolutely tell, because you can genuinely hear the fear in your voice. There was a lot of rushing around, and I guess my question is, do your other co-workers, do they have those same experiences, and do they have those same types of reactions, or are they a little bit more accustomed to what kind of what's going on there now?
I don't really know. I can't really answer that one with a yes or no answer, because I think, you know, a lot of people, usually we sort of work in groups. So if somebody's getting sent to a certain building, we won't often go on our own. We'll usually go with a group. There'll be, you know, two or three people that go. But people have definitely had experiences where they've been unnerved. But I think I would safely say that myself and my particular coworker I was working with were the first to really have something quite unsettling happen.
Right. So you're really the first link in a chain of reaction, really.
I would say so, yes. And, you know, and in that video, I'm 20, by the way. I'm only 20, but my coworker is 33. So, if people were thinking, oh, well, you know, Madeline's a little bit young and dumb and stupid and might play a bit of a joke, how do you scare a 33-year-old that severely that, you know, she's shaking?
Yeah, because this is now, I'm starting to see a little bit of a picture here, because I wonder if the renovations to the building have awoken something in, I guess, in the spiritual world relating to that building.
It's quite possible. That's definitely one theory you could put down to it, because, you know, nobody else has from what I know so far, has ever really had an issue in that particular building. But they are quite old. And because there's no history on them, you don't really know what's happened and who's been in there and that sort of thing. And they have, you know, completely gutted out the bathrooms, but completely redone the bathrooms. But all the rooms are still very, very old.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, on the one of the previous episodes where I interviewed a gentleman who works on the I think it's the Pakapenyal Army Base, he said, you know, the army bases are not really a place of happiness in a sense, you know, like you're there because of war, you're there because of like not great reasons. So he kind of had this theory that, you know, there's a lot of negative energy that comes around these types of, I guess, places, just because, you know, no one's there for super, super positive reasons. And because these bases, they're so old, and especially this one, you know, it's 80 years old. It's there's a lot of history that would be there, even if it is unwritten. There would be a lot of anguish around that base, I would imagine, way, way back in the day. And I wonder if this is just some residual type of hauntings or some residual energy that's just hanging around because of all of that.
It's quite possible that could be what it is. I hadn't actually thought of that. You know, the rumination sort of having something to do with it, but it would make sense if you thought about it that way.
I hear stories of people who do renovations on houses that they may buy, they may be heritage listed or something like that, and as soon as they start to knock down walls that they maybe shouldn't be or stuff like that, weird stuff starts to happen in these houses. And it just made me think maybe this is the case with the renovations that's going on in those bathrooms. Maybe there's a dark history that. And that could be the reason why there's nothing written in the books there.
Yeah, definitely. And that thought alone sort of doesn't really sit very well with me, because they are actually planning on doing quite a couple of renovations to a lot of different buildings, because obviously they're getting quite old. And because it's sort of quiet at the moment with coronavirus, that's when they're sort of taking the time to think about what upgrades they could do, you know, so that the students are more comfortable in a slightly more modern accommodation block and things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, if you find out, if they are making more changes to the buildings and more activity is happening, let me know, because I'd love to get an update. It kind of be almost a sense of clarity that, hey, the more you muck around with an old building, expect some weird stuff to start happening.
The more happens. Yeah, most definitely. I will definitely keep an eye on that for you.
So, Madeline, just before I let you shoot off there tonight, what do you think these are? Like, do you think they're ghosts? Do you think they're spirits? Do you think they're there for good reasons, bad reasons, anything like that?
If I'm being blatant, I'm honest with you, I really don't think they're good. And that's coming from somebody who's experienced all of this firsthand. I've had a couple of other experiences in my lifetime, which have been, you know, have given me a completely different feeling. The only feeling that I get when I'm in these experiences is negative. So I'm quite positive in my response of saying they're not good.
And that's fair enough. That's fair enough. You know, especially if you've had experiences in the past, and if they've especially been positive experiences, you know, there's an obvious difference in that feeling.
There really is. And it's not so much the experience, and for anybody else who's ever had an experience, it's the feeling that you get during the experience. You know, something that could happen and you could get a positive feeling about it. When something happens and then you immediately feel scared and you feel like you should not be there and you feel like you need to run, that's not a good feeling.
Yeah, that's kind of troubling, isn't it? Because the one that really does stand out for me is just that how terrified you were in the cinema there. And, you know, it's got to be a really, really terrifying encounter to never want to go back into a building again.
Yeah, exactly, especially on my own. You know, you almost get the feeling that, you know, something might happen to you. You know, if they're able to do things, whatever they are, the spirits or whatever they are, in the drones, if they're able to make shadows on the floor, you know, there's not a doubt in my mind that they could do something to somebody.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio.
Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.